Blog Talk Radio.
In Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, February the 22nd. We have a little bit of rain here. We have some chilly temperatures. I have a feeling that this could be a very exciting rush hour traffic kind of evening here in the North Texas area, because it looks like we could be getting a little bit of that wintry rain, you know, that kind of chilly rain, sometimes mixed with ice. It just looks that way. It feels that way. It's in the 30s. So that's why it's going to be interesting today and tomorrow morning here in North Texas. Tonight coming home, and tomorrow morning, of course, going to work. Today I've got some thoughts about two very different ways of talking about gun control. And we saw that yesterday at the White House and at CNN. And I've got a post, in fact, coming out Friday morning about what happened at CNN, which I thought was a travesty. And so we're going to get into that in a minute. But before, of course, I want to congratulate the American women at the Olympics who just won the gold in hockey. And that's always exciting when a U.S. team wins a hockey medal, because it was on this day in 1980 that another great U.S. hockey team, the Miracle on Ice, the young men who were part of that wonderful team in 1980 that beat the USSR and then went on to beat Finland to win the gold medal. So we remember those guys today, the Miracle on Ice, perhaps the greatest hockey game that I ever saw, the most exciting hockey game that I ever saw. You know, in 1980, I don't think that I had actually seen a hockey game. And I was probably like a lot of people in the United States. We knew what hockey was, but we had never actually seen a game. We had never actually sat down on the in front of the TV and watched the game. So when the U.S. hockey team started playing well and there were some exciting games, I think a lot of us got caught up in the excitement. And then, of course, that game against the USSR that Friday afternoon, I think it was. Man, what a game that was. And you can still relive that game. They have a lot of the highlights in YouTube. And I'm telling you, 32 years later, it's still, I think, it's still the most exciting hockey game that we ever saw. The U.S. versus the USSR, the Miracle on Ice. What a great game that was. And again, congratulations to the U.S. ladies for winning the gold medal in hockey. You know, the Canadians, they beat the Canadians. Canadians are tough when it comes to hockey. They're the big superpower when it comes to hockey. So that's the team you got to beat in the Olympics when it comes to hockey. And the ladies did it. I think they did it in overtime. I didn't watch it, but I heard about it. They did it in overtime. So congratulations to the U.S. ladies, and great to pick up a gold medal. It's always a lot of fun to do that. Let's talk about what happened over at CNN and the White House. We're having a big debate about gun control, and that's okay. That's a good thing. I think that's a good thing to have this debate. And I think everybody should put their ideas on the table, and we shouldn't be afraid of hearing radical ideas. I mean, I'm all for debate. I think that's a good thing. And over at the White House, I thought President Trump had a really good program. He had people come in. Everybody spoke. They were very respectful. The place was very well behaved. There was one father, a Mr. Bell, who got up and spoke about his daughter. And I mean, that was just unbelievable. You know, you're listening to that and you're going, oh my God, you know, it brings tears to your eyes. You know, this is a man who lost his daughter. A few days ago, he went to the funeral. So it was really an incredible, incredible performance by Mr. Bell. He just spoke for so many of us. Who would like to see a focus on Sorry about that, folks. Sorry about that. He spoke for many of us who would like to see a focus on school security, because that's what this is all about, really. This is about school security. This is not about slogans or anything like that. And I think he spoke for many of us, many parents like me who, I mean, I don't have kids in school right now, but I did several years ago. And I remember back in Columbine when that happened in 1999, you know, I remember talking to other dads at the PTA meeting and just in the neighborhood. And we'd be sitting there talking to each other saying, why don't we have guards in school? You know, why don't we have, this is almost 20 years ago that we were talking about this. And we had other incidents like the Sandy Hook, you know, where those little kids were killed. And after each one of these incidents, I always ask the same question. Why aren't we putting guards at these schools? Why are we not protecting our children? We protect federal buildings. You know, I had to do courthouse recently. I had to do jury duty recently, and I had to go down to the courthouse. Well, yeah, I mean, you cannot get into the courthouse without going through all kinds of hoops. Obviously, an airport, you cannot get into an airport without going through all kinds of hoops. And yet, you can go to a school and just walk right in. It doesn't make any sense. So, this gentleman, Mr. Bell, I think he spoke for so many of us who are saying, hey, guys, why haven't we done something about this? He's exactly right. He's exactly right. Why haven't we addressed the question of school security? We haven't. Because every time we have one of these tragedies, we start talking about guns and we start talking about gun control and we start talking about assault weapons. Well, that doesn't address the problem. The problem is that we have to protect our schools first. That's the priority. Let's protect our schools. And then, yeah, okay, we can have a debate about gun control. That's fine. But let's take care of the schools. That's what the issue is, taking care of the schools. So I thought Mr. Bell just did a fantastic job, I think, speaking for so many of us who are sick and tired of all this demagoguery that, you know, we go off on all these tangents rather than talking about school security. The other show, of course, was over at CNN, where they had this, what they called a debate or town hall meeting, which was nothing, not that, you know, that was not a town hall meeting. That was basically a campaign rally against the NRA. That was just absolutely despicable. And I think the people at CNN should be ashamed of themselves. I don't think they helped their reputation one bit last night. I was watching Jake Tapper for a little bit. You know, I used to think Jake Tapper was a pretty serious guy when he was at ABC, but, you know, I don't know what's happened to him ever since he got to CNN. He's become part of the, you know, of the CNN type reporter who seems to be more focused on Trump than anything else. But I thought that was despicable last night, the way that Senator Rubio was treated, the way this lady, Dana Loesch was treated. I thought it was completely despicable. I mean, when you have, you know, allow the audience to boo and yell things at them without any kind of crowd control. I mean, at the very least, if you're going to have a very serious topic like this, you should have a frank discussion of the topic. But that's not what happened. So I think that we had at the White House a very good discussion. This is what you do. This is how you have a discussion about gun control. And over at CNN, you had exactly the opposite. This is not how to do a discussion about gun control. This is the exact opposite of what they did at CNN. It was nothing but an anti-NRA rally, which I think, by the way, and I'll give you one last thought before we take a break. I actually think the rally, what we saw at CNN, is going to backfire big time on the left, because that was so obvious. I mean, unless you are completely invested in the anti-NRA philosophy, any reasonable person watching that had to see that that was not in any means whatsoever a very fair presentation. I think it's going to hurt them a great deal. I really do. Now, CNN, of course, is already having serious credibility problems, so I'm not sure that they can lose any more credibility. But I think if the anti-NRA people thought that they were going to gain from what they saw last night, I don't think so. I think in many ways they've energized the NRA to really show up in 2018. And I think you're going to see massive turnouts of the NRA and just about anybody else they can influence to show up in these elections, because I think it's becoming quite clear that the intentions of the left are not to fix our school problems. The intentions of the left are to take your guns away. And that's not going to work. That's simply not going to work here in the United States. So bad, bad night for CNN. Very good afternoon for President Trump at the White House. We're going to take a little break. We're going to hear from Carlos Guedes, and we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guedes, Heartbeat, and I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Nola Brasserie Authentic Cajun and Creole Restaurant, located at 1201 Main Street, downtown Dallas. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy jazz at 7:30 until midnight. So make your reservation today at 469-872-1820.
One of the things that I have a post over at the, I hope will come out Friday morning over at American Thinker, where I talk about the politics of gun control. And one of the problems with the politics of gun control is that it always works against the Democrats. And we saw this in 2000 with Al Gore, Vice President Gore, who during the primaries was forced to the left because of a challenge by Senator Bradley. He was forced to the left on gun control. And then once he got into the campaign, he gradually started trying to get back to the center. But once, you know, once you say all those things about gun control, they're out there. And it really hurt Vice President Gore in 2000. I mean, if you look at the devastation that, you know, you look across the country, I mean, it just devastated, you know, places like Tennessee, his home state, he didn't win. Arkansas, the president's home state, he didn't win. And then he got into places like Ohio, where it really hurt him, in places like Missouri, because one of the realities of the politics of gun control is that people in rural areas, they see gun control differently than the left does. And so when you go too far against gun control, when you go too far against the NRA, you really put yourself at an electoral disadvantage in many of these rural areas, as Vice President Gore did, as I think Senator Kerry did, and definitely Mrs. Clinton. I mean, there's no question that her positions on gun control hurt her in many of these places where she thought she was going to win, in Pennsylvania, in Ohio, in Michigan, Missouri. Those are states with huge rural areas, and the policies of gun control does not play well for the left in those areas. I was thinking about these red state Democrats like Montana, North Dakota, Missouri, Indiana, West Virginia, Alabama. I was thinking about these guys. You know, I wonder what they're going to say about the NRA, because those are Democrats who've had good relationship with the NRA in the past. So I think the CNN did itself a tremendous disservice, its reputation, that is, and it did not hurt the NRA. I'll just put it to you that way. It probably helped the NRA because of this one-sided attack on the NRA last night. Well, February 22nd, one closing thought here. February 22nd is George Washington's birthday. He was born, of course, on this day in 1732. And I have a post over at Babaloo. I also have a post over at my blog today about George Washington. To me, you know, Scott Johnson over at Powerline, I'll give him the credit because he came up with it. Well, he was the first person that I saw write this. Scott Johnson said many years ago that George Washington was in many ways the indispensable American. And, you know, when you think of a country based on a constitution, you don't want to think of a indispensable man, because it's the constitution that matters, not one man or one woman. But there's no question that George Washington was the man who I think made it all possible. And what made it all possible was his integrity and his character. There's no question that the colonists, the men at that convention, they were willing to trust George Washington because they trusted him as a man. They knew that he was a man of character, a man of integrity, and that's why they were willing to make him president. And so I just think that when we think of George Washington, we think of many things about this great man, George Washington. But think about his character. Think about his integrity, because I think those two qualities were essential, absolutely essential, in the forming of the nation that he was the first president of, and in so many ways, the father of. Have a wonderful day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Bye-bye, everybody.